Now for my announcement. Most of you know we have an Awana program. Are some of you aware of that? Can I have an amen? Okay. We have Awana, what is it called? Quizzing. Gail, what day is it? It is the 15th. That's what I was hoping. Anybody else know what day Awana quizzing is? Is that 15th? Is it when, 15? When? Okay, here's our dilemma. There are Awana Club programs in the area. This will go directly with the sermon this morning for you that have ears to hear. Churches are no longer interested in the scripture. So at the Awana Club program, there will be no other clubs quizzing but ours. Which tells you, in those churches, the scripture is no longer the center of the church. Emotions are. Because in our kind of church, this is the center of our life. It's called the Bible. Here's the dilemma for us. We're going to go to, what's the name of the church? For you that have been there about 100 times, it's a Bible church. No. It's where people that you graduated with are. Yeah. Indian Hills Chapel, I think it's called. Here's our dilemma. The only people that's going to be there is us, and we would like a crowd to go. So unless you're, and I mean this from Frenchie down here, unless you're doing something, not that you need to watch TV that morning, it would be wonderful if we would have 50, 60, 70 people to watch our own kids compete against each other. We'll have another announcement next week. And if you don't, what you're telling me is your tinkering around is more important than anything else. And after a point, tinkering. Now, I understand some of us work. That's all fine. I'm just saying it would be nice if our kids had an audience other than Lois and Gail and Rhonda. Can I have an amen? So if you can be there, I'll have more information next week. I didn't want to say that. It's unbelievable that we used to have dozens of Awana programs, but the Bible is not even popular in church today. Lots of emotions, lots of worship, whatever that is. I think it's what Jesus says. We worship, you worship, you know not what. Let's stand, please. Matthew chapter 5. I'll talk about that more next week. Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1. I would prefer to have skipped this, but it would not be right, and it would be on my conscience, so I have to speak on this subject. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, we have the 8 Beatitudes. Now remember, I keep repeating things because I want you to grasp this. I know this is basic English. First person is I or we, if it's plural. Second person is you, when someone speaks to you or you all. Third person is he, she, or they. It's more distant. The Beatitudes are all third person. He, she, or they. So when you read them, notice the they. Jesus is not looking at his disciples and describing them directly. He's talking about they until the very end. Begin in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I think verse 7, 8, and 9, I've spent a whole Sunday morning on. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And here is the last beatitude, number 8. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then the only beatitude that Jesus knows we're not going to like. So what does he do? He pulls over and explains that verse, and he makes it, look up here, it's no longer they, it's you. He's pointing at his disciples, you. Blessed are you all, ye, when men shall revile you all, and persecute you all, and say all manner of evil against you all falsely for my sake. Rejoice, again, that's second person plural, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I call this the unexpected, unwanted beatitude. The unexpected, unwanted beatitude. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this privilege of coming here this morning. I thank you that we can read your word, that we can recognize the blessings we have in Christ, the blessings we have from following Christ. And yet, you tell us there's another blessing. And that a person that is persecuted is one who is blessed. Help us this morning to understand and hear your word on this Sunday morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read just highlights again from the same text. Look back at verse 3, please. Notice the word, I'm going to read the second half of every verse. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, for they shall see God. Verse 9, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes have great promises attached to them. Several of these Beatitudes can be somewhat difficult to grasp. Verse 3, poor in spirit, is not a way we would express ourselves. My friend, it's something the Lord wants from us. The Lord wants all of us not to be in love with ourselves. But this is what I have learned. People in love with themselves don't know they're in love with themselves. So I'll skip, but that can be difficult. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. That is the hardest word in the New Testament for me, because who do you use as an example? Who is a meek person? That's a tough one. Verse 8, we talked about on the Sunday morning, pure in heart. But all of these Beatitudes are connected with blessings. Then all of a sudden you come to the 8th Beatitude, blessed are they which are persecuted. What? Who wants to be persecuted? Who wants to be pointed out? Who wants to stand out from the crowd and be pointed out, you are a Christian? One of the founding men of this church, Dr. Bain. Years ago, I talked to Dr. Bain. Dr. Bain was one of the big shot doctors in a hospital just south of here when it was a real hospital. When it was considered a flagship hospital, Victory, which is now Vista or something. In 1973, abortion was legalized. Dr. Bain was on staff. He was a major player. He said, we had many doctors' meetings. We had to vote on things constantly, and when we voted on things, secret ballots were passed out. The ballots were passed out, and then they were collected, and then the vote was revealed. This was the normal way of doing business. But he said, when it came to abortion, the guy that was in charge said this, all those opposed to having abortion in this hospital, stand up. Dr. Bain told me three doctors stood. That was in the 1970s. Do you understand the problem? My friend, how can persecution, who wants to be pointed out? Who wants someone to point us out and say, you're one of those haters? I don't know what being against abortion means you're a hater, but evidently you hate women. I actually thought you loved girls and boys who are yet not born, but I'm confused. How is it a blessing for those who have been blessed by God and blessed because of Christ? And then, look in your Bibles, please, because this is a biblical sermon. Then Jesus does the unthinkable. He knows human nature. Humans don't like to be persecuted in any fashion. So he moves from third person, they, to do what? He looks directly at his disciples and he points to them. Second person plural. Verse 11. Blessed are ye, all of you, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So he moves and turns directly to us, his disciples. No more third person hypothetical. It's second person in your face. And he says, this is the addition to the beatitude. You ought to rejoice. You ought to be exceeding glad. This morning, I'm going to read a lot of verses. I'm going to say five very simple things. Now, I wish I had a thing I could walk right out in the midst of you right now. If you're not saved this morning, before you get saved, you need to hear the truth. And the truth is, and this is the first point, if you're a Christian, you will be persecuted. No longer will you be able to hide in America. Now, if you're not a Christian, you have nothing to hide. You've learned how to come to church and hide. But as a Christian, you will be persecuted. May I say this? You will be hated for the strangest things. And when I say hate, have you ever listened to the Women's March that just happened in Washington, D.C.? You know the one they don't put on television because they can't let you listen to the language that goes on among so-called women? Hatred. Most of the signs began with an F, and then it went to men and Trump. That's called being a woman today. Hatred. Wow. My friend, I say to you as clearly as I can, if you're a believer, number one, you will be persecuted. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're going to look at two texts, long texts, that deal with this from different places. Now, I was talking to Pastor Kowak. I realized there are men and women in this church that have never suffered any persecution. That tells me something. You are good. You're either unsaved or you're very good at hiding. Because we no longer live in the age where you can just simply say, well, I'm not going to talk about that. They will force your hand on 1,000 subjects. How about this? Let me ask you a simple question. Christian, is Jesus the only way to heaven? I asked you a question. Is Jesus the only way to heaven?
Say that in public.
You know, you don't have to get theological. Okay, Acts chapter 5, verse 25. Acts 5, verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captains with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Verse 27, when they brought them, they set them before the council, Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "Well, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to do what? Invite them over for a meal. Please hear me, friend. I know, I'll come to this in point two or three, that I am going to be a magnet. But when I worked in hospitals, I can still remember seated in a break room, in the emergency room, talking to two or three nurses, a social worker, and a doctor friend of mine. We were all just talking. It was in the evening. I have no idea when. The subject came to the subject of abortion. And I don't know why I'm bringing up abortion. Came to the subject of abortion. There was a young lady, Jenny, I cannot remember her name, but when John was born, she had two children born. One boy died and the other one is still, you know, but she was, whatever her name was, and she had two children, one of them who died at birth. They were twins, one who lived but had problems. She said, "I'm against abortion." And she said, "Why?" We went around the room. Social worker said, "I'd have an abortion and I wouldn't feel guilty. I could not let that stand. Could you?" I said to her what I would say to you. You don't have to feel guilty to be guilty. You know, she never liked me after that. Can I ask you a question? Do you know what I'm asking? Males? I'm asking some of the males in my Sunday school. Have you ever been persecuted? Have you ever had people hate you? By the way, I don't wear a flag. I don't come in saying I hate. I don't hate anybody. I worked with gay guys back in the 80s. Please. I think it's wrong. Don't have to hate somebody. Let's keep reading. Verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And by the way, friend, shame is one of the things that happens. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4. Shame is one of the things we're going to have happen to us. You say, "Pastor, that just happens to you." By the way, friend, I'm not asking you to look for a fight at work. Because I'm asking you a question. Don't you ever talk to people? Do people ever ask you about your faith and your beliefs? Inevitably, it's going to happen around coffee, eating a donut, drinking a cup of coffee. People are just going to talk. And what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Be silent? I say to you, if you're silent, you're unsaved. How can you be a saved, silent person? Chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing happened to you. Verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, we'll come to this verse at the end, happy or blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth on you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a gossip, busybody, in other men's matters. Yet if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Look back at Matthew chapter 5. So, my friend, can I ask you, do you understand you will be persecuted if you're a Christian? Who was it that told me? Somebody told me recently. They worked with somebody that had been a Christian for 30 years, and after they found out that this person was a Christian, the other person said, I'm a Christian too, but I never talk about anything. How? Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Let's look at it again. I said this, number one, you will be persecuted. Number two, that persecution will take several forms. There's several ways you're going to suffer persecution. Matthew 5:10 says this, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted. You will actually be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you. I'm going to explain what that means, but you're going to be reviled and persecute you, and then say all manner of evil against you. What's the next word? Falsely. Pseudomai means they're going to lie about you, by the way. Verse 12 then repeats again the word persecuted. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. So you will be persecuted. That persecution will take several forms. Before I move on, I'm going to ask you a question. I cannot ask you the question, have you been persecuted? Because I already know some haven't, and I don't understand it. But I'm going to ask you this. Do you like it? Does anyone like to not be liked? Do you realize where persecution begins is this? I am willing for people not to like me. Please look at me. If you are not willing for people not to like you, then don't worry about persecution. Because you'll crawl into a corner every single time. But my friend, the moment to be a Christian, it's either Christ or the crowd. And if I'm going to follow Christ, so let me talk about something that happened to me. I don't like it. 1981, I got out of the United States Navy here. Went to Bible college, started working in a hospital. I started working in that hospital, Dire Mercy, I believe it was June 15th of 1981. I started, and when you started in a laboratory in those days, you start on days. They teach you all the ropes on days, and I was going to work PMs because I was going to go to school during the day. Then you would switch to PMs after 2, 3, 4 weeks. So I started working on days to learn, and they put you in every department, hematology, chemistry, blood bank, microbiology, every place. I did it all. I finished up my tour, and I went to PMs. There was a young lady, young. She was older than me, but she was probably 30. I was 24. Her name, I can still remember her name. Her name was Diane. From the first day I worked there until the last day I worked there, and when I say the last day, I mean the very last evening, Diane would not speak to me. I'm older now. I would do things differently now. I would actually confront the situation now. You say, did you do something to her? And my answer is probably, maybe. But do you know how it is when you walk, when you walk into a room, she looks at you every single time. Now, I didn't work with her. She worked days. And I worked evenings, 3 to 11:30. But for 5.5 to 6 years, every single time I saw her, she would not speak to me. And if I approached in her direction, she walked away. I got a question for you. Are you willing to put up with that? You say, Pastor, that never happens to me. Yes, it does not for some people. There are three kinds of persecution this text talks about. Look, if you would, back in 5, in verse 11. There's really, I've already talked about, you'll just not be liked. But when the persecution begins, here's where it begins. In verse 11, it says specifically, they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Let me say it simply, they will lie about you. Look at me in the eyes. Do you like being lied about? I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? Say something. Have you ever been lied about? Yeah, this whole week. This entire week. And after a time, I don't mind being lied about, but I don't prefer people in the church to be part of the liars. Or hanging out with the liars. And two people know what I'm talking about, and those people also know that action is going to be taken in this church. You're either a liar or get away from the lying. By the way, nobody likes to be lied about. And Jesus says directly to you, if you're a Christian, people will say all manner of evil against you falsely. You will be lied about. Get used to it. Well, that's not all he says. He also says in the same verse, I believe, blessed are ye when men, and the King James says, reviles you. Hold your hand here and look at Matthew 27, verse 44. Matthew 27, verse 44. The King James uses the same Greek word is found here. The King James does not translate it literally. It translates it with a colloquialism. But I love the way it's translated in the King James. You really get, what does it mean to revile somebody? Here it is. Matthew 27, verse 44. The thieves also on the cross, which were crucified with him. This is just the word reviled him. The King James says, cast the same in his teeth. Look at me, friend. Do you know what it means to be reviled? It's when someone hates you so much and is so angry at you and is so disgusted by you, they can't open their mouth to speak. They speak through their teeth. Do you know Jesus said that's going to happen to you if you're an actual Christian? Now, I told this week, several people. In this church, I am the sharp end of the spear. Do you know the analogy? There's a spear. It's called what we are. At the point of that spear is always going to be me, which means this. As a pastor, you get used to being lied about, and you have to get used to people doing that. And I have been accused of everything. Except being a Christian. People cheat on their spouse, I'm to blame. People are drunk, hey, people are drunkards, I'm to blame for their drinking. I'm to blame for everything. I found out I was to blame for a male that used to come to this church molesting his children. How did I do that? My friend, I understand that I am the sharp end of the spear. People are going to lie about me, and people are going, do you understand what it means? Have you not seen people speaking through their teeth? They're so angry they can't even open their mouth. That's what it means to revile someone. Well, it also says persecute. And persecution is simply what it is. It can take many different forms. So being lied about, spoken evil against, being being reviled and with disgust and hatred and bitterness. They can't say anything good. And then persecuted, which simply means they chase you with the intent of getting you, harming you. I want you to hold your hand in Matthew 5. I want to look at Psalm 41, would you please? Now, some of you are thinking, Pastor Warren, do you have an axe to grind this morning? May I ask all of you that are awake in this room, is this the next text in the passage? I would rather never talk about persecution, but this is what I have learned. If you're a person thinking about, hey, if you're thinking about being saved and following Christ, you better put your armor on. Now, if you're going to be a person that hides at home, don't talk to anybody, maybe somehow you escape the persecution. Maybe. Psalm 41, verse 9. I'm going to say this as clearly as I can on a Sunday morning. I just prefer people who are my friends not to be part of this. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. So if you're part of the persecuting crowd, which side are you on? I asked a question. Please look up here, everybody. If there are people that hate this church and hate me, now, by the way, they would hate Tim too, but I'm bigger, louder than Tim. You understand? They're hating truth, righteousness. I have dared to speak in Bible against immorality and drunkenness. Some people don't like a Bible teacher in a high school to talk about the Ten Commandments and drunkenness. I will do that until I die. But I prefer you not to hang out with the people who are hating me and the purpose of this church. Is that fair? Wow. Matthew 5, please. Matthew 5. So we have said two very simple concepts. You will be persecuted, and that persecution will take several forms. Lying about you, reviling you, and actually trying to harm you. Yes. Number three, that persecution happens for several reasons, though these are never the reasons that anybody says. Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted. He gives you one of the reasons, does he not? What's the word for mean? I'm telling you why you will be persecuted. For righteousness' sake. So, my friend, if you go to work and you tell dirty jokes like everybody else, you go to work and you drink like everybody else, you go to work and gossip, you spend all your time at work gossiping like everybody else, you'll be just fine. But the moment you go to work and try to stand for righteousness and truth, some folks aren't. Now, a lot of folks will be fine. A lot of people won't mind, but there'll be some that will not like you. That's one of the reasons you'll be persecuted. Verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. What? For my sake. So the two reasons he gives directly is for righteousness' sake and for the sake of Christ. And can I say this to you kindly? Sometimes people have said these kind of intelligent things to me. Pastor Warren, you're not Christ-like. That might be true. I want a question for you. What did people do to Christ? They, humanly speaking, killed him. So if you think by being peaceful and loving, people are just going to flock, you're kidding yourself. Hatred is part of the world. Turn your Bibles to John 15, please. If this is not a passage you know, Christian, you ought to know it. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, well, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Don't you have an amen there? Verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. By the way, as far as we know, every single disciple was martyred. I'm not looking for martyrdom, but I think there was just a Nigerian pastor martyred just last week or the week before. Folks, we're kind of playing games in this country. May I say this to everyone? We are so afraid someone won't like us, we will never stand for anything. What kind of a Christian is that? So you will let people self-destruct? You won't share the gospel with them? You won't tell them the right path? I don't understand. I'm confused. You're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake and for Christ's sake. Let's keep reading. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Last year at graduation from our Christian school, Jan makes up a little brochure like this. Not this, but a brochure for graduation. I have no idea. It usually says something about the year and stuff on the front. Inside, it gives all the kids' names, awards. Pastor Coak goes over the awards at graduation, does some of that on baccalaureate. On the back, Jan Thompson, it's her fault, not mine, puts a biography of me. I will freely say to you, I have never read it. You say, why? I know who I am. Actually, I didn't even know it was there. Don't pay attention to it. Last year, a lady came here, loves me. She says, why is he always talking about himself? She said, did you see how I'm so tired of hearing about his degrees? Here's the problem. Jan Thompson puts that on the back. I never have read it. And this year, when you come to graduation, are you listening? On the back, where it has my bio, I'm going to say, see last year's bulletin. People hate you for the dumbest things. If you've ever been to our school, and many of you have, we have a Thursday night meeting. Every Thursday night at the very beginning of school, the kids come, parents come, and it's his fault in this case. He makes me speak. I get up and I preach at least an hour, correct? I preach 3 to 5 minutes, and I say the same thing every year in different ways. In order for your kid to succeed, they need a good home, a good school, and I'm very specific, though they don't hear it, Bible-believing church. I also say, welcome, we're happy you're here, we're happy you brought your children here. I say those three things, and for the last 10, 15 years, a little less than 15, does anybody know who I mention? Junior, who do I always mention when I do this? Do you remember? He's a friend of yours. I always say something good about Tyrese because I love Tyrese. This year, I also said something good about Miles, because he was sitting by wherever Tyrese was. Are you all listening? I leave here. What have I said? Welcome. We're glad you're here. We're glad you brought your children. We want your children to succeed. It'll take a good school, good family, and a Bible-believing church. And I say, my favorite student, I always say it, he is Tyrese. I was called a racist this year. Can I be honest with you? And I'm speaking to everybody. I've been called racist more than you can imagine. To the place where if you want me to not listen to you, just call me a racist. What are you talking about? But see, some of you don't realize that's part of the persecution game. We hate you, but we're not going to tell the truth why we hate you. Yes, I've been called just about everything. Now, what I want to do before we go to point 4 and 5, which is very quick, is I want to share something with every Christian. I've already shared this with a couple people. Are you all listening? You're going to find in America today, the people who persecute you the most will not be the official unsaved people. There are two forms of Christianity broadly conceived today. Please listen. One, this is what I'm going to define. It's called this, defined Christianity, where you define what you believe and how you live. Here is Lake County Baptist. Are you ready? This is what we're interested in. Fundamental doctrines, you know, Trinity, virgin birth, justification by faith alone, the five solas, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scripture alone, to God alone be the glory. We're interested in those doctrines. Are you ready? We're interested in the 10. Have you ever heard of them? We're interested in praying, you know, like Jesus teaches us to pray. Simple stuff. There's defined Christianity, and then there is, are you ready? Undefined Christianity. It's like Play-Doh. I'll give you the names of the church. The bridge, the river, the creek, the well, the valley, the orchard. And those people hate us to death. Why? Because we say, here's what it means to be a Christian. And what do they say it means to be a Christian? We're emotional. We're in love with ourselves. Friend, our church suffers more persecution, not from unsaved people, but from that group called the Plato, the amorphous Christianity. By the way, talk to them about divorce and remarriage. They're enraged. Talk to them about, why do you go to this church? You're trying to meet a woman. Haven't you already been? Everything is... So yes, Lake County Baptist is a Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist church. We actually believe and try to practice the 10 commandments. You know, honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not, you know, commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. You ever heard of those? Well, let's look back at Matthew 5 and verse 11. I didn't mean to make this my popular sermon, but I can tell you this. If, look at me, young people too. If you are not willing to be unpopular, there is no hope for you as a Christian. The moment you're willing to say, this is who I am, that doesn't mean you're offensive. Doesn't mean you don't like people. My friend, the apostles spent their entire life trying to reach people with the gospel. But that is highly offensive to religious people. Matthew 5, verse 11. I have said, you will be persecuted. That persecution will take on several forms. Persecution, speaking evil against falsely, and reviling you. I said that persecution will be for several causes. Minimally, for righteousness' sake and for Christ's sake. Number 4, we find it in Matthew 5, 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner against you, manner of evil against you falsely. I would say number 4, that persecution will almost always be unfair and untrue. Unfair and untrue. Friend, if someone was to told me when I became a pastor that I would be lied about, look at me, that I would be lied about to the amount that I am lied about in this area, I don't know that I'd have become a pastor. I cannot be guilty of all the things I've been accused of. Now you say, that doesn't happen to me. Stand for righteousness. see how it works. Now, if you're hanging out with the pagans, listening to them and joining in, that's separate. We go back to number 5. It's from the whole text. I have said you will be persecuted. That persecution will take several forms. Persecution, reviling, speaking evil falsely. I have said you will be persecuted for several reasons. Minimally, for Christ's sake and for righteousness' sake. People don't like lines. Folks, look at me. People don't like lines. Good, evil, right, wrong, true, false. They like emotions. As long as it's all emotional, everything's great. That's the difference between a defined church and the amorphous, undefined church, the Plato church. You know, the creek, the river, the valley, the hill, the mountain, whatever. And we have one on every street corner. And they all teach the same thing, emotions. Well, we come to number 5. This is the part that's hardest to accept, but Jesus says it, so I have to accept it. That persecution brings with it God's blessings. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So in some way, friend, we are blessed with those persecutions, with those difficulties. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. 1 Peter 4:14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, or blessed are ye. I tell a story and I'm done for this morning. 1977, somewhere in the summer to early fall, I was stationed and going to school at George Washington in D.C., stationed at Bethesda Naval Hospital, and a lady in our church invited Vic Borden, which had gotten saved in May of 77, Vic and I over for a meal. Now, we were single sailors. If somebody invites a single sailor over for a meal, unless you poison us, we're coming. You know, you're a sailor. You have no food. You're tired eating Navy food. So the lady asked us, she went to the church we went to, Trinity Baptist. Her family was a lovely family. Her husband was early 60s. She looked, I think, probably early 50s, which seemed ancient at the time. 50s and 60s. She had 2 sons, and their specialty was this. They were the greatest threesome, dad and 2 sons, in softball I'd ever been around. We had a softball team in that little church, and it was a great team because of dad pitched. One son played shortstop, which is the most critical spot, and the next son played left field, the second most critical spot, right up the alley. Great softball players, great guys, came to our church. They invited us over. Now, there was another son I'll get to in a minute. So we go over, Vic and I do, and the mother said to us before we came, when you come, you can go swimming with the third son. Fine. So we got there. It was early. We had an hour or two before supper. She said, why don't you go out and go swimming? So we did. We swam, whatever, just, you know, went in the pool. And her other son was there. We came in. We had a meal. I don't remember the family's name. It's been too long. The lady had, the best way to describe it is when you see someone, you don't see it much anymore, Coke bottle glasses. She had a real hard time seeing. Real sweet lady, very simple lady. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say, the third son, I don't know the term that's appropriate today. Special needs, retarded. He was like he was 10 or 12 and he was in his 20s. But he was a nice guy. Oh, he was nice. We were talking after the meal. Vic went to talk to the dad, I think, and the other kids were around. And the mother was talking to me, and she said, you're going to study to be a pastor. And I said, yes. And we talked a little bit. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I don't remember his name. She said, my youngest son is God's greatest gift to me. Now, folks, you know how long this has been? 43 years ago. And I can still remember doing this. Because I thought, you have two adult sons, which are good men. You have a son that is, what's the term, proper term? Handicap? Special needs. And that's God's greatest gift to you? Look at me, and this is exactly what she said to me. She said, she didn't call me pastor, my name was Ralph. She said, Ralph, he taught me how to love. If you're a Christian, the hardest thing you'll ever do is stand for Christ. The greatest blessings you'll ever find is when you stand for Christ. Because then, look at me, then you can actually talk to people about the gospel and not gossip. Because you have planted your feet, this is who I am. Now the discussion begins. Before that, you're just part of the unsaved crowd talking nothing. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. So if you'll bow your head, spend some